Okay, it's the 14th of May, and our exam, our final exam, is in 2 weeks, Thursday, somebody got me thinking Thursday, May 28th, 8 a.m., don't worry, I'll stick around all morning long till noon or so. It will concentrate on 15, 14, 2, and then the miscellaneous topics that we're going to discuss starting today and then finish up on Tuesday. There'll be, I told you already, the formula sheets for Chapter 6 and Chapter 9, because there'll be both problems from Chapter 6, constant perpetual, discounted cash flow, and then the bond valuation, bond yield calculations. General questions on everything else. General questions on all chapters. 2 pages of handwritten notes. So 2 pages of handwritten notes. Bring a calculator, Scantron, and anything that you have to turn in. Any assignments that you have, I'll take them. I can't guarantee how much I'll give you. All right, any questions, any thoughts? How are we doing? Not bad. We just had a little bump. Who jumped up? Who jumped? Starbucks jumped. Apple's still doing strong. I accidentally put Procter & Gamble in there twice. Yahoo has become so difficult to use. Yes, I want to remove it. Watch, I'll remove both. It'll remove both now if I do this. Watch. No, it's good. It didn't. Pfizer was in the red, was it?
Yeah.
But we're up 3% now. Not bad, not bad. You guys did pretty darn good. This is one of the best semesters. It was one semester. Somebody did 10%, but that was during 2013 when things really jumped 30%. Okay, so you can't be blamed for that. Let's get the gray. Let's get the attendance here. Yeah, Cat was having problems. Caterpillar is going to attend a rough time. Dollar strong. Global economy outside the United States is slowing. George is here. Isaiah, no. Kenny, no. Lily is not here. David is here. Kyle, no. Christina's gone. Barbara's gone. Elizabeth Galarz is here. Daniel, Vicky, no. Marco, no. James, no. Betsy, yes. Raul's outside. Valoni, Yvette, no. David Martinez, Joel, no. Chanel, no. Desiree, no. Victor, no. Steve is here. Chris is here. Daniel, no. Ricardo, no. Adam, no. Martinique, Isaiah, no. Elizabeth Velasquez is... I thought I saw her. No, I guess she's not here. Sorry. Anthony is here. Jacob Vivas, no. Okay, let's get going. Because what we had done is we had learned about the ancient art of margining and how we can lose even more money than we set out with by borrowing money to buy stocks. And then we learned an even worse way of, a better way of losing money by shorting. But first we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? Okay, did I tell you a Microsoft joke yet?
No.
No? Okay, Microsoft joke. This woman had been married 3 times before, and she really wanted kids, so she found another man, and they fell in love, and she wanted to get married, and they got married. And on their wedding night, she said to him, I know you're not going to believe me, but I'm still a virgin. And he says, oh, you don't have to play this game with me. I knew you were married 3. You have to believe me. You have to believe me. He says, all right, well, what happened with the first husband? She said, well, the first husband had a medical problem, and I wanted children, so that's why I divorced him. And he said, oh, well, what about the second husband? Oh, the second husband was a homosexual. He wasn't interested in me, and I wanted children, and that's why I divorced him. And he said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. How about the third husband? She said, oh, the third husband was Bill Gates. And he said, so? She said, well, we would sit on the bed every night, and he would tell me how good it was going to be. And he goes, well, I guess that makes sense. What would you expect from a guy who names his company Microsoft? What? You don't like that one? Of course, I told you, they're all bad. Well, actually, on Tuesday is an end of semester joke, which is actually pretty useful. You remember the end of semester? Remembers the end of semester joke. So on Tuesday, you get the end of semester joke, which actually is actually very useful for many students. So we discussed long purchases, where you buy low and sell high. And then we came back and took a look at an example where it went up from $10 to $20. But the other way of making money in the stock market, losing it quickly, it's called shorting the stock, selling short, going short. The sale of a borrowed security, their eventual repurchase by the short seller and the return to the lender. It is the opposite of buying long. So remember, buy low, sell high? No, sell high, buy low. See, it doesn't matter which order you do them in, as long as you buy low and sell high, or sell high and buy low. And so selling short must take place in a margin account. By definition, you are borrowing something from the broker. Now, you're not borrowing money, you're borrowing securities. And we're going to talk about stock, but you could short bonds. You can't short mutual funds. Mutual funds are not allowed to be margined or shorted. So here's how it works. You borrow the stock from another shareholder. They don't know it. And you sell on the market. So you receive money for selling stock that you do not own. You wait for the stock price to go down, and then you buy it back, pocketing the difference. The shareholder you borrow the shares from never knows that the shares were borrowed. The brokerage firm does all the back office. We call it back office work. Now it's all computerized, but it's called back office. By the way, if you short a stock that pays a dividend, you have to pay the dividend because those shares are no longer owned by the owner who thinks they own them. They're out there. So when they're going to get the dividend, somebody else is getting the dividend. The company is paying it to somebody else. So that person says, well, I own the shares. Well, not really. I mean, they do, but they're out there somewhere. Somebody else owns them now, and you got to pay them back. So if they get dividends, you have to pay a dividend. Yes?
Then my account that I have set up with ShareBuilder is weird because when I go, I can only buy put limit orders and stock, but it doesn't allow me to.
Because you didn't open up a margin account. You would have to go. Maybe ShareBuilder doesn't even allow it. I mean, think about it. A company that calls itself ShareBuilder, they're not going to want people that short. Maybe they will. But you have to call them up and say, I want a margin account. Because you have to be able to borrow money or stock from the brokerage firm. So you're not going to be allowed to short until you've done that. And what they're going to do is they're going to do a credit check. They're going to use your social security number to check your credit and see if you're a good credit risk, because they can get left holding the bag.
Because on my Forex account, I can do that.
You opened up a margin account with that company.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And the first reaction that many people had, certainly it was the reaction I had, when you first hear about this is, doesn't that sound illegal? Selling something you do not own?
No, Kramer made his money.
Well, you promised to pay it back. And so, assuming that you're a good credit risk and you're not going to run to Aruba or somewhere. Well, if you commit fraud, yes. You can go to, in fact, you haven't gotten there yet, but there's an old saying, he who sells what isn't his'n must buy it back or go to prison. But no, and as long as you did not commit fraud, if you set out to defraud the brokerage firm, yeah, you can go to prison. But if you just screwed up because you thought this stock was going to keep going down, 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 and it keeps going up and up and up and up, yeah, there's no limit to how much you can lose when you short. Think about it, folks. When you go long, if you buy a stock, hang on a minute, I'll get there. If you buy a stock at $20, how much can you lose?
$20.
$20, right? But if you short a stock at $20 and it starts going up, what's the limit on how high it can go? There is none. Right, infinity and beyond. So obviously you're going to get a margin call. They're going to call it in before that happens.
Right.
But you can lose a lot of money.
But what you do is you just put a stop.
Yeah, I'll put a stop to you. You remember what? Remember the stop? Remember the stops and the limits and the stop loss and the stop loss? What the traders would say, well, just put a stop on it. But what the folks like me would say, then you're guaranteeing a loss. You're guaranteeing, you know, if it goes down $2 or goes up $2 in the case of shorting, you're going to stop out. You're going to get out. You've just guaranteed a loss. And knowing that stocks are very volatile to begin with, you know they're going to bounce up and down 10, 20%. So that's the and that doesn't mean you're right or I'm right or we're both right or both wrong. It's just a different way of looking at things. So,
is that what Bernie Madoff?
No, Bernie Madoff was just lying. He was taking people, it's called a Ponzi scheme or pyramid scheme. He was taking people's money, putting it in his pocket, and then on making up these statements saying this is how much you owned. You know, you own this many shares or this. He was doing bonds, actually. And so that's called a Ponzi scheme after the guy who did it back in the early part of the 20th century, Charles Ponzi. But I think it's been done before him, but it's named after him. It's also called a pyramid scheme where...
That's more
along the lines of a pyramid scheme, but it's the same idea. You're taking money, and instead of investing it, you're giving it out, or you're either stealing it yourself, or as you say, you're giving it to somebody else, and then you got to get more and more people into the pyramid until finally, it finally falls apart. Yeah, you can't exponentially grow. It's the same idea. Okay, so the example. This is where we ended up on Tuesday. Instead of going long, you think this stock is going to go down. So you sell short at $20. You go out there and talk to your broker and say, I want to sell this company short. Whatever company it is, what company do you think is going to go down? Who do you think is going to go down?
Caterpillar,
right. Kmart, Sears. Yeah, let's do Sears and Kmart. And so you happen to see that the stock is selling for $20. So you go to your broker and say, I want to sell it short. You get $20 in your account because you sold the shares. Now if the stock price goes down to $10, you can turn around and buy it back and give it back to the person you borrowed it from. They never know what happened. And you get to keep the difference. You get to keep the $10. And as we ended on Tuesday, I said, congratulations. You just made $10 on a $0 investment. Wait a minute. You think you're going to be allowed to do that? You think they're going to let you make $10 on a $0 investment? No. You cannot really make $10 on a $0 investment. It's a margin account by definition. You borrowed the stock that you sold, and the rules for the margin account still apply. You must put up 50% of the account. And you go, but 50% of what? I borrowed it. Well, yeah, 50% of what you borrowed. 50% of the proceeds from the sale of the stock must be put into the account. Again, the brokerage firms use the account balance sheet to keep track of the investor's margin. And we'll take a look at some examples. And there's one on from who was not here on. Was anybody not here on Tuesday? Okay.
So you can't come up with. You can't use the profit you made off the stuff. You have to come up with your own. 50%.
You have to come up with 50% on. You can't use what you made at all until you've closed out the transaction.
Right.
Unless you have a lot of excess margin, then you can do it. But normally, we're just looking at one and didn't. So let's take a look at the example of what happens when things go wrong. If you sell the shares at 20, remember, they're not yours. If the price goes down, yippee, you made money. But if the price goes up, what happens? You are in trouble. And I know it's confusing because it's the exact opposite of what you're thinking you should do. But if the price goes up, normally you'd be really, really happy. Not here. Because you sold it at 20, now you got to buy it back at 40. You see what happened? Now, are they going to let you? Are they going to wait until the stock has gone up to 40 before they call you in? No, typically by the time, depends how much margin you have, by the time you hit 24 or so, you're in deep kimchi. Shorting, you can lose a lot of money very quickly. And so that's why Peter Lynch says don't short a stock. So who am I to argue with Peter Lynch? So, when you buy long, you can only lose the purchase price of the stock. Once the stock hits zero, that's it. You can't lose any more. But when you sell short, theoretically, remember, you're going to get a margin call. They're going to say, no, you can't lose any more money because now we're in trouble. If we get a postcard from, you know, Puerto Rico and you've run away. So when you sell short, there is no limit to the amount of money that you can lose because there's theoretically no limit to the price of the stock. The stock price can always go higher.
And you're only doing that because
you're thinking the company's going down. And I've never shorted. The only stock I really wanted to short it was back in 2005 and 6. I kept saying, short GM, they're going under. They were losing tremendous amounts of money. They were still paying a very generous dividend. And the only cars they were making money off of were the Dummers and the Uh-Ohs, Yahoos, what's it called? Tahoes, yeah. The Yukons. You cannot make any money except off these big SUVs. Well, they didn't really bail them out. They lend them the money and they came back. But yeah, they bailed them out. They paid every bad dime back. They paid every dime back. But yeah, with interest. Yeah, no, the government Motors came through, so did Chrysler. But and so I didn't do it, though. I didn't do it. I didn't short it. Because when you short a stock, you're essentially saying you hope the company doesn't do well. And I don't like that. I want everybody to... What?
But it's the same thing when you're short, you can still put a stop loss.
Sure, you can still put a stop loss, which guarantees that you've lost. You put a stop loss at $21. If the price goes up to $21, then it'll kick out automatically. But that means you've lost. You've guaranteed that you've lost.
That's why when you figure out how much capital you have, you only do 5% of that, and you're good to go.
I don't like losing 5%. I don't want to. I don't want to do that on purpose. George, I'm just saying, I've said it over and over again. Are you a trader? Are you a speculator? Or are you an investor? And you have to decide what you are before you go ahead. And I tell you right up the bat, right? I told you at the beginning of the semester, I am not a trader. I am not a speculator. I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable doing it. I wouldn't recommend it to any of my clients. I wouldn't recommend it to my students. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. And I wish you much success because you'll need a lot of good luck. And how's it worked for you so far? You've broken even, right? All that heartache, all that work, and you've broken even.
So far.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, here is the formula to calculate the margin on short sales. And you don't have to worry about it because we're not going to do it. I'm not going to put it on the exam. But if the stock that you sold was short at $20, you would have to deposit $10, which is the minimum, 50%, which means once you hit, where is it? We're not there yet. But it's like 24. Once you hit 24, that's it. You have to call in your chips. So here's the example on page 49. Remember the balance sheet that we did on Tuesday? We used the same thing. We have our assets on the left side and our liabilities and equity on the right side. Now, over here, and the other one, it was the loan that never changed, right? Well, that's not the way it is on the shorting. On the shorting, it's the proceeds from the sale. So in the book, they sell Texas Instruments short. Okay, and they get $3,000. And that doesn't change because that transaction has already been done. You've sold the 100 shares of Texas Instruments short at 30, assuming that Texas Instruments goes down. That's what you're doing. You're hoping that it goes down. So you receive $3,000 from the sale. Now remember, you have to put up 50%. So what do you got to put down?
$1,500.
So your initial margin deposit, assuming you wanted to use the minimum of 50%, would be $1,500. And that doesn't change unless you come up with more cash, right? Unless you say, okay, I'll bring more cash to the table, then that will change. But this one won't. So we have $4,500 here. Now on this side, what's your short position? Well, your short position is how much the stock is worth And this does change. So this is $3,000, right? So your equity, because they too much balance, your account equity is $1,500. This is the initial transaction. So $4,500 on both sides. Now, if Texas Instruments falls to $20, this will not change because you already received that money. But all of a sudden, I meant to use two different colors, but all of a sudden, because now Texas Instruments is now selling for $20, the short position goes to $2,000 because there's 100 shares, right? You still owe that 100 shares, 100 shares of TI at $20 is $2,000, and your account equity has gone up to $2,500 because they must balance. The short position fell, the account equity rose. You made money because the stock price fell. You see that? Yeah? Now, what? It's a beautiful thing, unless the stock price rises. Because then you got a problem. If the stock price rises, what happens to the short position? Now you have 100 shares of TI at 40. What is this worth? 100 shares at 40 is worth $4,000. If you were to close out the transaction right now, you would have to pay $4,000 for those shares that you bought at $3,000. You sold at $3,000. So the account equity will drop to $500. And if your margin, well, you have a margin call before it hit that, because look, that's 12.5%. That is not good. 25% is the absolute minimum that allowable by the Federal Reserve Bank. So you see what happens. You see what happens? Nod your head yes or go, poofy. All right, so you want to do number two? Okay, so pick up the buying and selling securities handout that we did number one on Tuesday. Okay. So number two, because Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe has been such a dog, you decide to try selling short. You know, you went long the first time, now you're going to sell short. It's currently selling for $10 a share. All right. If you short 400 shares, what will the proceeds from the sale of the transaction? What will be the proceeds? You go out there and borrow 400 shares from somebody, you don't know who you are, borrowing them from, the brokerage firm takes care of that, and you sell them at $10. So what will be the sale from, the proceeds from the sale? Everyone see 4,000? You got that? Because there are 400 shares at $10 a share, and we got 4,000. So, what is the... If your initial margin requirement is 50%, how much will you have to come up with?
2,000.
Everyone says 2,000?
2,000.
So you'll initially have to come up with $2,000. You'll have to deposit $2,000. So we'll have $6,000 as our total assets. Now on the liabilities and equity side, the short position, assuming it's the exact same time that we sold them short, we have 400 shares at $10 a share. So our short position is 4,000. And our account equity, they have to balance. Has to be 6,000. So what's going to happen to the account equity? Everyone should say 2,000. How's it going to happen to the account equity? Everyone should say 2,000. What's going to happen to the equity? Because I think you're sleeping now. Maybe you are still sleeping. That's okay. Not a problem. All right. So now, if Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe all of a sudden rises to 12%, oh, no. Oh, darn. What's happened? It's gone up. So now 400 shares at $12 per share. Daniel did it. What is it? $4,800. What's happened to your equity? It's gone down to $1,200. And you can use the formula there to calculate your new margin, or really all you have to do is take the equity divided by the total assets, 1,200 divided by 6,000, and we're at 25%, right? No, where are we? 20%? We got screwed. Here we are. We need to buy back the shares. We lost. Is it common that you lose money when you short? Yes, it's common that you lose money when you short, because, as we said, 3 out of 4 years, 2 out of 3 years, the market goes up. So when you're shorting, you're getting in front of a freight train. Now, are there times when you win, when you short, but most of the time you're going to lose, in my humble opinion. Unless you're absolutely sure that GM is going bankrupt, or Kmart is going to go out of business, whatever.
So, like you said, isn't it, if that would happen, isn't it good to have a market cap on it?
You mean a stop loss?
A stop loss.
Well, yes and no. I mean, yes, it's good because it stops you from losing more. But no, it's bad in my humble opinion because you've guaranteed that you've lost. If you just don't lose as much. Yes, exactly. I don't want to lose. I want to have a long-term perspective and realize that it's going to bounce up and down. But if you have a short-term perspective, we've gone through this again over and over, George. There's no reason. And we're going around and around in a circle. There's no reason to So there's no reason to say anything else. Now, this is the formula. Again, I'm not asking you to do it. They're not gonna be on the final. All you need to know is that the darn thing is risky. Selling short is risky, your brokerage firm will keep a close eye on you. Short squeeze. You might have heard this term. When the market is going down or when a stock is going down, the momentum investors, the speculators, the traders, will often short the stock to take advantage of the down momentum, right? Buy high, sell higher. Sell low, sell lower. That's the idea. Follow the momentum. The trend is your friend. That's what speculators will tell you. This pushes the market down even further. And I like to think of it like a spring. You're pushing down on a spring. But remember that all short sellers, unless the company goes out of business and then the shares are worthless, but all short sellers, by definition, have to buy it back. They cannot hold on to the shares forever like you could if the company just was a GE or a Johnson & Johnson or ExxonMobil. That company's not going anywhere. But when the short sellers jump on a stock, it pushes down that spring and then eventually pops back up. And that's why you will almost, just so many times, you'll see the market will be going along and then there will be a short drop. And then people will freak out and say, just wait a couple of days. And then the next day, boom, it'll jump back up again. Because the short sellers have got to get back into the market. They've got to buy. In 2002, that was my first serious bear market, 2002. I mean, 94 was not too bad. 1998 was a little rough, but 2001, 2002. And I was a broker at the time, and I'm at the brokerage firm. And one of the brokers said, hey, the short interest in the New York Stock Exchange it's the highest it's ever been in the history of the United States stock markets. And I went, okay, it means we're pretty close to the end. It still didn't feel very well. That was August 2012. The bottom was October. The bottom was October 2012. And this gave me great comfort because it meant, it had to be close to an end. It didn't have to be. The whole world could have fallen apart. I don't know if you remember 2002 when we were running around yelling and screaming about weapons of mass deception. Sorry. What was it called? weapons of mass destruction, right? And then we invaded a country that the mushroom cloud, right? Yeah, exactly. Okay. It dropped a little bit again in March, right before we invaded. And then as soon as we invaded, people went, "Yay, we're cool, we're number one." They went, even the people. Remember Bush and the mission accomplished. And then they put that video on the White House website. And then a couple of years later, they cut off the top. They cut off the mission accomplished. I know. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Short selling. There used to be a valid reason for shorting a stock. And it had this silly name called shorting against the box, which I don't know where the hell it came from. But you would short a stock that you already owned. Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. You own the stock. Why would you short it? Well, think about it, folks. It allows you to essentially sell the stock without creating a taxable transaction until you close out the transaction by delivering your own shares. So think about it. This is what accountants sit around and lawyers sit around thinking about. It's December, and you need the proceeds from the sale of the stock. But if you sell it now, you're going to have to pay the tax by April. You're going to get a 1099 saying you created a taxable transaction. You could short the sale, short the stock, short the shares, get the cash, and then in January 1st, the markets are closed, you say, okay, take my share. And then you postpone the taxable transaction for an entire year. Are you with me? Understand? Not anymore. No. In 1997, the IRS removed this loophole. Can't do that. Yeah. Oh, darn. So my advice, for what it's worth, don't short. And as I said, Peter Lynch says don't short stocks. So who am I to argue with Peter Lynch? One last time, who's interested in becoming a registered representative? I just had one of my former students send me an email last week saying that her brokerage firm that she's been working for is going to sponsor her. She's going to take the Series 7. We're going to do lunch. I'm going to see what the hell's going on. Nobody, you? It's cool. You know, if you continue with this technical analysis, short-term trading, speculating, and you do successfully, you'll attract a big crowd of people. So you'll have plenty of clients to tell them, oh, this is what we're doing now. Well, I don't think it's that funny, but that's what will happen. Okay. So any questions on shorting? Anybody have any comments, criticisms, suggestions about shorting? Don't do it.
Yeah, just do it. Whenever you do it, whether you go long or you go short, only use a certain percentage of your capital so that you don't, whether it's 5%, 10%, that's what I recommend. You just don't.
That's your funny money.
Yeah.
I used to call
it. In other words, only trade what you can afford to lose.
Right, I understand. I used to call, I didn't do this, I bought riskier stocks. I called it my Vegas fund. And it lived down to its name. So now, instead of precious metals, because we only have 6 slides here, why don't we do, if we have enough time, go ahead.
It still hurts.
It still hurts to lose, folks. I will tell you the truth. It is not fun to lose. Why don't we do real estate? Because that's about 20-some slides. And we have enough time for real estate. Okay, so let's do that. Save link as a desktop. And get going. Okay, and I got a handout for you. So real estate is 18 slides. 18.